Everybody, welcome to another episode of Well, This Isn't Normal. My name is Sarah Benincasa. I am your host. We have done so many episodes of this podcast since March 16th, and I'm so pleased to have you here. This is a podcast about dealing with it, whatever it means to you: stress, depression, anxiety, joy, happiness, fun. Whatevs, creativity. I get to talk to a lot of creative people about how they manage stress and how they find joy in everyday life, even when it's weird. And now is very weird, obviously. I talked to somebody I've admired for a long time, screenwriter and producer Liz Hanna. She wrote The Post. She wrote Long Shot. She's done a bunch of Mindhunter-related things. And she wrote a film called All the Bright Places. She's, you know, TV, film, etc. So many things. A talented gal. And she's a tiny baby because she's 5 years younger than me. So I've decided that that means she's a tiny baby. I think it's a really fun conversation because she's really grounded in reality. And also a very creative individual. And those two things don't have to be disparate, you know, I don't know if that's even the right word, but those two things don't have to be a contradiction. You can still deal with the nuts and bolts of today and feeling good and feeling bad and feeling all the feelings and do creative work. It's not always easy, but I look to people like Liz Hanna, who are still working and making things happen, as inspiration for me as an artist. And I think it'll provide inspiration for you as well if you're feeling a bit creatively blocked by stress at the moment. Obviously, if you are dealing with navigating the unemployment system, if you are dealing with health challenges, being creative may be the last thing on your mind. In that case, I hope that conversations like this one will remind you that the creativity is still within you, that you are an artist no matter what, no matter whether you have a day job or any job or not, even if you haven't been able to find the motivation to act or dance or sing or write or sew or quilt or whatever it may be in quite some time, that is always there inside you waiting for you, and you can pick it up whenever you need to. That's not a value judgment about whether your art is quote unquote good or will be critically acclaimed. Who gives a shit? It's your art. You are an artist no matter what. I wrote a book called Real Artists Have Day Jobs. And I will emphasize, of course, right now that some real artists don't have day jobs, not just the rich ones either. People are dealing with it. But point is, you're an artist 24/7, 365, every year of your life. Artists, I think, are born. And you may say, wow, I was never an artist until now. No, you were. You just didn't find the thing that motivated you. You didn't find the thing that ignited that spark within you. Anyway, Liz Hanna clearly found the thing that ignites the spark within her quite young. And I'm really excited for you to listen. I will talk to you. I'll be back at the end of the interview. Hi, everybody in the Well, This Isn't Normal listening audience. I am here with a screenwriter, producer, what other roles? Probably a lot. Liz Hanna, how do you introduce yourself?
Not well. I guess screenwriter and producer are the credits I've done and had produced at this point, so I'll stick with those.
And very, like, you've done so much impressive stuff for a child of 22 years old. And I think, which means, like, anyone younger than me is like, I'm like, oh, they're 22 years old. Like, that's exactly how old they are.
I'm into it.
Liz Hanna is 22 years old.
I love it.
A writer, a producer, and an owner of humans who are in fur form and are allegedly pets. So,
I think they own me is really
absolutely.
It's like the Arrested Development line of the character Charlize is playing, where she's like, "They teach me." That's really how I feel. I just feel like I'm in a trying to survive in a mental institution at this point.
Is it harder to, like, okay, is it harder creatively or is it harder patience-wise to write, like, Mindhunter or say a feature like The Post or Longshot, or does it take more patience and emotional presence to deal with your cat hating your puppy?
It's almost equal. I will say it's almost equal. The puppy is really, really stretching our patience then at this point. I mean, she's used to either coming to my office and being entertained by, you know, a dozen people all day, or like going to the dog park for 2 hours a day. So this whole like sitting inside on the couch or in the office is really not in her game plan. And she likes to tell us about it. So literally right before we got on this call, she was just sitting in front of me howling because she was bored. This is also a dog who has like four dozen toys, has a backyard. Like, she lives a good life. She's fine. She goes on 5 miles walks a day. Like, she's okay. And just from basically 7:30 in the morning until 7:30 p.m., it's the witching hour.
She gets to see plants and trees, and she gets to see butterflies and probably see squirrels and do all the dog things. And she probably eats really nice food. Like, it's probably good food. And yes. And yet, is it enough right now, Liz? Is it enough for the puppy?
It's not. And the squirrels in particular, are really, are busting her ass a little bit. She just doesn't understand why they won't play with her and why they like sit, 5 feet away from her and just like laugh at her and do the clicking thing that squirrels do. It's been a journey, let me tell you.
I feel like I relate. I was, I don't do much. I haven't dated much in the past, few years. I had to get sober and figure that out, which I'm still figuring out. But once you feel more secure in that process, it is okay to start dipping your toe in. So I've been dipping my toe back in to
good
like
for you.
Thank you for the online dating, and especially right now it's peculiar, of course, but I feel a little bit like your puppy in terms of when you match with somebody and then they just don't respond. So like sometimes they picked you and you're like, oh, this person liked me on whatever, you know, platform I'm on. I'm going to pick them back. And then you just don't hear from them. So sometimes I'll be like, oh, hey, how you doing? I really like that photo of XYZ, and like nothing. And it's so, I get it. I understand. There's a couple different approaches to life. There's the puppy eager approach, and then there's the I'm a squirrel, go fuck yourself, I'm living my life and storing my nuts literally and figuratively approach.
Yeah,
also
all times.
It's very avoidant and anxious attachment love styles.
That totally tracks. I feel like dating right now would be so interesting. Like, I have a few of my friends that are single. We were talking about the other day, and it's like there's no pressure of sex. Like, you're just removing that from the equation, obviously, completely. And so you're doing like FaceTime, you know, coffee or what, or drinks or whatever it is. And like, you have to actually get to know this person on a probably more intimate level, intellectually and emotionally, than just like a one night stand or whatever. And
absolutely,
so,
yeah.
Or like a booty call. So it's really like, that's super interesting to me. To see sort of like what happens in dating out of this. And it's also, I feel like you can judge people in terms of how serious they're taking this. Cause like, if I was dating and I was talking to someone and they were like, yeah, so my circle has like 7 people in it, and you know, da 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 da, I'd be like, all right, you're definitely not for me because you are clearly not taking anything seriously. But if they were like, yeah, I've been home alone for the last 25 days, you're like, all right, we're on that level.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, it gives you a good, I was saying in a very early episode of this podcast, the second episode, I did the first 2 episodes just by myself. And then my first guest was John Cryer on episode 3. And we've had guests ever since, which is nice and keeps me getting to talk to interesting people. But I was saying, like, it was called, I think, When They Just Won't Stay Home. And I think it came out maybe on St. Patrick's Day, 17th mm-hmm. or 18th of March. And that episode is very short, but it has to do with how do we apply the tools of, how do we apply effective tools of communication and conflict resolution in communicating with friends and family members who are not adhering to the rational, wonderful, intelligent rules that are all in place now, that at March 17th, 18th were like light suggestions, but
and
still
now they're real. Yeah.
We had every piece of evidence to indicate to us that those light suggestions needed to be rules, but we didn't have a federal government that was on board. And we still don't in many ways. So like, how do you, if in your communications with people, obviously not dating, but if you've had to communicate with a friend or a family member or somebody, like, how have you, do you do the yelling brute? Because I've done that too. I've been like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Get the fuck inside.
Yeah, I've done both, I guess. One is the yelling, which, you know, doesn't seem to work. And the other is sort of the guilt, which is just like, well, you're not going to see me then for even longer, you know, for however long until we get out of this, extend that by, you know, X amount of weeks to be able to tell, you know, your health wise. I mean, I think that's, and, you know, not just me, but I mean, in terms of like, you're not going to be able to see anybody. Nobody is going to be willing to be around you. So you're already isolating yourself even more in terms of your quarantine and how safe people will feel around you. And so I think like that for me is really scary. And I think at this point, I mean, now it's, we're what, you know, 3 weeks into this and it's like, this is real and this is serious. And does anybody like it? No, but I also don't want to get sick. And even more so, I don't want to get someone else sick because I don't know if I'm sick or not. So I think that's the really scary thing. And you know, it's like I have a younger brother who's 18 who he just was in his first year of college. And like, that's just so brutal. You know, he had sort of the taste of freedom and was living on his own and, you know, out into the world. And now he's back and you know, having to be home with his parents and be back in their house. And not that that's a bad thing, but it's just like you're 18, you just got a taste of freedom and now you're back. And even more so, like all your friends from college are home and all of this. So it's like, I think the temptation is there and the want and the need to sort of express that freedom. But, you know, he's luckily a very smart kid and is staying home. But that I really feel for and empathize with because like, you know, I'm old. I've had the taste of freedom and of not, and I generally enjoy being in my sweatpants on my couch anyways. So like, it's not, you know, I have all of the same, I think, social struggles as everybody does and just the wanting to, you know, see people and tangibly be able to talk to someone and touch somebody. But I think it's harder when you are young and haven't had all of that. So I feel like, I commend him. He's staying inside and trying to stay sane as everybody else is, but it's hard. It's really hard for everybody. And, you know, that this is also, we're talking about, you know, for me, I'm fortunate enough that I do a job that I can work from home and that my work has, you know, so far, knock on wood, been, you know, the same stuff I was working on before this happened. So it's really scary but you know, that's why God invented Netflix.
Yeah, I mean, as a 22-year-old, you speak with such maturity, which I really appreciate.
You know, it's been 22 long years.
But it is we were talking off the pod about how you have folks in your family who do who give pastoral care, who work in the Episcopal Church, and how difficult it is to. Not for the congregation to not be able to be with their faith leaders, to be as a group, to be as a community. And I was wondering to what extent, you know, I believe in something. And I did the Belief-O-Matic quiz that my friend Melissa Sinova recommended to me. And I got secular humanist. And I was like, okay, that's pretty dope. That's pretty cool. So my only, you know, spiritual group is I would say right now is my recovery group. I don't belong to a church or anything. Mm-hmm. But so regardless of like your sort of system of belief or lack thereof or what have you, I was wondering how you tend to the part of you that needs, you know that you're healthy right now. That's great. You know that you guys are social distancing, but that yearning, whether we call it psychological or spiritual for connection, like how do you manage that right now?
think that's a great question. I mean, you know, I'm my brother-in-law is an Episcopal priest, and so is his husband. I've been very lucky to have had them, you know, in my life for a number of reasons. But, you know, they are able to talk about things outside of the church, but obviously with the, you know, the perspective of spirituality or faith or of any of these things. And so in hard times or even in good times, like I really find talking to them to be helpful. And I think this specific event, you know, it's the community, the loss of community, I think is something that is the real, in addition, obviously, to the health risks and to COVID in general, in terms of illness, I think the mental and emotional effects of not seeing people and not having that community is really what is what the almost universal depression that we're living in. Mm-hmm. I mean, emotionally and financially. And so I think that's really the struggle that we're all seeing every day. I mean, we all joke about it. It's like yesterday I thought it was Friday all day. And then I was like, oh shit, it's Thursday. But I guess that doesn't matter because like time is a construct at this point. So it's funny, but it's also really disheartening and seeing so many people comment on that and be like, yep, I just realized it's Friday too. I think we're just living in this really staid world at this point. And so, I mean, for me, in terms of connection and community, like, we FaceTime a lot. We do a lot of Zoom calls. You know, we are trying to sort of be present in our family and friends' lives and stay connected to them. My husband's siblings and their significant others and I, we do Trivial Pursuit once a week. So we have like a standing Trivial Ooh. Pursuit date, which is a really nice way to sort of see everybody, but you don't spend 4 hours talking about the coronavirus. You know, you actually are able to joke around, and it's like this 2 hours of the week where you're not thinking about what's going on, and that's really lovely. And so that's what we've been trying to do, and trying to just, I think, make sure that all of our conversations aren't just about what this is. And it actually, I mean, it obviously in 180 degrees different ways, but when my husband and I got engaged, we were like, we can't spend a year talking about the wedding because then we'll get to the wedding and be like, wait, who are you? Because it becomes so all-consuming that that's all you can talk about. And so I think in a lot of ways, that's what we're trying to practice is like, let's make sure that that all of our conversations are not about the fear and anxiety and stress of this, because it generally can be, and it generally is with most of our friends that we're texting with. So, you know, it's just trying, I think, to be present and you know, trying to find comedy in the day still. I feel like if we all lose our sense of humor, it's just going to, you know, we're going to all go very quietly, and that's not a fun way to go.
So. Oh, yeah. If we lose our sense of humor, we're fucked. Like, that is, you know, and that is true, I think, undoubtedly. Like, if people throughout all these horrific events in history that we could, there's too many to name, but could, if we can see evidence of humor, often the aptly named gallows humor, dark mm-hmm. humor of the time, if we still have evidence of that, you know, in the public record in history, then if that has survived, surely we can continue to laugh about things. Just like after 9/11, we still laughed about stuff. We still
you have to.
Absolutely have to. And your sense of humor can change a little bit. The shit that you find funnier, that you feel appropriate admitting to finding entertaining, can change. It can absolutely change. But we also, like, there is something so hilariously beautiful about the abundant generosity that Pornhub has shown, for example, not just in terms of making their services available for free in certain areas, in certain parts of the world, but also in giving incredible donations to organizations that are helping. Like, that's fucking hysterical. It's also beautiful, and it's deeply sad that it's necessary.
But it's really funny.
But it's fucking funny, and it's wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. It's funny. I love Jeanette Bras, Jeanette Goldstein, who's an actress and a bra monger, a lingerie lady and a friend of mine. I love her. I just love her stores and everything. They're all, shut down now. And she has this newsletter and explains how you can order right through her. You can By the way, everybody, you can email info@JeanetteBras.com and use an offer code that I made up called Tits McGee, and you get 15% off plus
That's
free
amazing.
Shipping. It's pretty great. And
you is, that, is that a M-C-G-E-E or M-A-C-G-E?
Oh, thank you for asking, Liz. It is M-C-G-E-E of great. the you know, the more elegant McGees.
Great. Of the McGees.
Right, correct. So right. It's Tits McGee, 15% off. But, you know, it's unwieldy, right? Because she doesn't have online commerce. Her whole business model is about fitting people in person. Like, that's the whole thing that made it different rather than talking to a robot online.
Right.
But she sends out a newsletter to people on her newsletter list. And I laughed because she's really fucking funny. And also... Like Jeanette played Vasquez in Aliens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And she's like a nice Jewish girl from Los Angeles. she got cast to play people of so many different backgrounds in the 80s. They were just like, you could be anything, be this. And she was like, all right. And I guess that's what acting is, being anything. But she's a lovely person, very down to earth. And in her newsletter, she wrote... that she especially suggested buying when you buy from her these certain companies that have turned over a lot of their manufacturing facilities to sewing masks. And like for whatever reason, and this is not that funny, but for whatever reason, the idea of these like finely skilled lingerie makers in France and Belgium, which is where these companies are located, sewing like masks. I just started laughing. It's not even funny. I just was like, I don't know, tits on a face. That's funny. Tits
that's
McGee.
Funny.
Yeah. Sometimes your like inner 13-year-old Beavis and Butthead fan just emerges.
I'm into it. It's funny. I also, like before this all happened, I had, ordered these two custom tuxedos that were intended to arrive. I had to go to an awards show a little while ago. And so I was like, I'm going to wear this tuxedo. And it didn't arrive in time. They arrived like 5 days after quarantine.
And
I was also like, of course I got two tuxedos delivered to me 5 days into quarantine because what am I going to do with these? And so now my husband and I are like, well, we have to do like a tuxedo night. So we're going to do like a black tie cocktail hour at some point with some friends because I'm like, this is just hilarious. Like it's just for me, I thought it was hilarious that I was like, these two tuxedos arrived. What am I going to do with these? I haven't changed my sweatpants in 5 days. Like what? I'm not going to jump to, you know, this very black tie, very fancy thing. But you know, I think it's these kinds of things that we just have to find humor in and we have to laugh. And like, otherwise it just becomes so dark. And I mean, I'm totally the person who says like, I can go to a really dark place. And particularly the first week, I was just consuming so much news that I was really like not letting my brain take a break or even process it all. And it just wasn't healthy. And so I've tried to sort of resist for the last, you know, week or so of consuming it as much, but it's really difficult. But it's fun. It's also, this reminds me of, I made this movie called All the Bright Places last year, and it's dealing with trauma and mental health and grief. And there's a scene in the movie where the lead character, the two lead characters are like out and they're sort of flirting and talking, and it's their first time they've really hung out together. And the lead character played by Elle Fanning starts laughing and then she stops. And Justice Smith's character says, like, you know, it's okay, you can laugh, you're not going to go to hell. And, you know, that for me actually kind of rings true. And I, by the way, I adapted a book, so I'm not complimenting my own writing in this. But I think that for me is so true of, like, in times of trauma, in times of grief, and sort of this time we're in, laughing can sometimes feel... like rude or out of place or you're not taking it seriously enough, where in actuality, like, laughing makes you healthier, laughing makes you feel better emotionally and physically. And so I think we all have to let ourselves off the hook a little bit at times and just not take ourselves too seriously while we're taking this situation very seriously, if that makes sense.
It absolutely makes sense. I mean, laughter is so vital. Laughter it can interrupt your fight or flight, fight, flight or freeze response. If you can find something funny 100%. As you begin to panic, that can interrupt that. I also, somebody on the internet and my shrink also told me in rapid succession, I was like, how did I not know this? I've had panic attacks since I was 8, that it can help if you dunk your face in icy cold water. And I was like, what?
So this is like what I've seen in every movie and been like, what a trope. They just dunk their face in water and that makes them feel better. So this is a real thing.
Apparently it's very real. And then my, you know, the lady on the internet was just like, yup, it works. And then my shrink was like, all right, let me explain to you the science behind this. And I just sort of blacked out because I was like, oh, Kate, you're saying words about science things, but they all made sense in a row. And I was like, wait, but that also, it's the same thing. It distracts you. It forces your body to react to something else, to something that's outside of you. And it's something that you have chosen. So it's totally. It's not, you know, when you're in having a panic attack, it's very much fear of the unknown. Mm-hmm. Even if you have a fear of something specific, it spirals out of control in that moment. And this just brings you back into your body. And it's really, so like laughing, dunking your face in ice water, all of these things can be helpful to you.
I love this idea, dunking my face in ice water. I'm very into that. I'm going to try that. And that also, I would say, like, counts as a shower. So I
For
feel
sure.
like, you know, then you're checking off a lot of bases that we're dealing with in quarantine.
Let's talk about our personal hygiene aside from our aside from the safety, right? Aside from trying to do no contact deliveries when we can or waving from far away or not to blah, 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 all that other social distancing. I am not somebody who feels like, I mean, I live by myself. Like, I don't really feel like I need to shower every day. Also, it's going to dry out my skin. And as somebody with curly hair, you know, you don't want to, it's called wash day for a reason. Like, you got to, you know. And so, you don't want to do that every day, but you do want to avoid grossing anybody out. What's like the longest you can go being someone who is married in the eyes of Jesus to a gentleman caller? What's the longest you can go before the devil walks in and says, we're getting divorced because you smell really bad? Like, where's your line?
It's a great question. I feel like if you haven't, I'm like, if you've worked out, then I think you got to shower. That's kind of the line. So like my husband and I have been trying to work out because, you know, A, we have time and B, it's something we can do in the house, and C, if I don't, I'm going to weigh 9,000 pounds after all of this because everybody's had time to bake and cook now.
Also, like my muscles will atrophy in some crazy way. And also, I have a knee that gets a little bit sore sometimes, and it started in my mid-20s, and I have noticed it gets sore if I use it too much or if I don't use it enough.
Yeah, I had pretty substantial hip surgery 2 years ago. And
oh my gosh, you're a tiny baby. Oh.
I know. So I have three about 6-inch steel pins in my hip, and if I don't exercise in I'm even talking about just like I'll go, you know, go walk the dog for a half hour or 45 minutes. It's like really bad, and my sort of my back seizes up, and it's so I'm really bad at taking care of myself, and particularly I was right before all of this happened, I had just finished working on a limited series, and you know, I was spending 8 hours a day in the writer's room, and literally, like, I broke myself. I was just by the end, I was like, at that point, I was laying on the floor or pacing around the room because I couldn't sit in a chair anymore. So I'm trying not to repeat that while we're in quarantine, and I'm basically sitting on my ass all day. But to go back to your question about showering, I think as long as you haven't worked out, I feel like 3 days is fine.
I feel solid about that. Yeah, that sounds
I feel
good
like you're changing your clothes, you know, like it's not like anything bad is happening. And so, and by the way, I mean, it's like we're all sitting inside just not doing anything. So it's not like there's a lot of exertion of anything. So I feel like 3 days is acceptable. I also feel like you do you. You know what I mean? Like if the person you're with doesn't care and you guys feel healthy and safe, like nobody is going to judge you right now. Now is the time to test this. Mm-hmm. It's like we're going to see so many quarantine beards out of this situation, or like I've seen a lot of quarantine shaped heads out of this situation because guys are just losing their patience with not having, which I'm just going to say.
Yeah, I saw a dude with that today, actually.
I think is I think it's hilarious how men are like, oh my God, it's 5 days past when I'm used to getting my 6 week haircut. What am I going to do? And I'm like, I'm sorry. Do you see what's on my head? Do you see what I have to deal with that this is going to go on? Like this is, and I have to do this all the time. You have like four hairs you have to cut and you're worried about it. So you're just going to shave it all off. It's hilarious.
Yeah, like, dude, you're going to be fine. I get judged if I show silver hair because it indicates an end to my fertility and sexual sexual viability in the capitalist marketplace of ideas in which we dwell. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, like, you literally can just shave your head if you want. And I guess I could too, but I'm not going to. And so it's really fun. I have so many male friends who have just like, week three, shaved their heads. They're like, we're done with this. This is what we're going to do. And I was like, wow, all right. I also, a lot of my friends too, it's like their kids are driving them insane. And so they're like, you could just shave my head. It's fine. I don't care anymore. Like, this will keep you quiet for 20 minutes.
This is really, I was talking, my sister-in-law is such a gem and she is a special education teacher in middle school. She is like, I think she's like a year or two younger than you. And she, so she's a child, but she has a child. Babies having babies. I mean, 30 years crazy. Old. How was she raised?
Crazy.
Shout out to Gail and Mark. Big fans of Gail and Mark, Elaine's parents. But anyway, they raised her great. But like, so she's really thriving in this interesting way because teaching middle school long distance is tough. Teaching middle school special ed with kids with different abilities is tough, especially since you don't have the same level of, you know, one-to-one or one-to-two, like the aides who are in the classroom. Like, so it's a challenge, but it's interesting at the same time because she's never gotten to spend so much time with her kid who's 2.5, like just mm-hmm. other than during the summertime. So the way that she's working out, I think, some job frustrations, just because it's harder to teach the children she loves, is to be like, she'll be like, okay, well, today I made a sensory box, and today we are learning directions, and here's how it's going. And I'm like, you're the mom of the year, dude. This is awesome, because she's getting to use her professional skills at home. And we were talking about it and I was like, yo, you need to share this. And for she sure. was thinking about it too, because she was like, do you think I should, you know, make a little like Instagram account and show little things that we do? And because she's not like, there's not somebody who grew up being like, I want to be an influencer, blah blah blah, whereas I'm like, use my offer code Tits McGee. I'm like almost 10 years older than her, much less mature in certain ways. But I was like, no, Elaine, this would be good, because so many parents are going freaking nuts, not because they don't love their kids, because they're cooped up with them. And part of it is the frustration that, like, they can't keep them occupied. They yeah. run out of ideas. They didn't spend 4 years at Rutgers or whatever. And then, like, I think she did her graduate degree at Keene or something. Shout out to Jersey. Like, they don't have all this pedagogical expertise. Like, yes, this helps, dude. This helps.
Yeah, no, for sure. My friends are going crazy with their kids because they're like, what do we do with them for 12 hours a day, 7 days a week? You know, I mean, and, you know, they're working on top of it. And I feel like a friend of mine posted something last week or something that was like, this is what we did today. And it was like an arts and craft project and homework and baking and then cooking and this. And then she was like, it's 2 p.m. We've done all of these things already today. And I was like, man, I do not envy that. That's just tough.
Ooh, I don't either. I mean, yeah. My hat is off to you, parents. Like, holy shit, that's tough. And especially really tough. When they don't have, you can't just throw the kid outside and go run the fuck around.
Right.
Enjoy, because you don't have a yard, because you live in a city or you live in the country, but you live in a condo and there's no yard space, or it's not safe in your neighborhood to let the kids out, or, you know, fill in the blank. Like, there's so many reasons that I would just be like, I was talking to a friend of mine who, lives on several acres in upstate New York, but and I was like, have you guys gone feral yet? And like, has everyone built their own? It's him and his wife and their child. And I'm like, have you guys each built your own hut? I guess the toddler can't legally build the hut, but it's probably not a good idea. You got to hang out with her. And I feel like when parents feel guilty about he does not feel this way, but I see sometimes parents going, you know, and they hardly ever will. So once in a while, I feel like, as somebody without kids, I don't know if you feel this way, sometimes I am the person that they'll be like, sometimes I fucking hate my kid. And yeah, I'm like, totally. That's fine. Yeah. And I'm like, I know you can't tell the other moms at playgroup that, but you can tell me. And they'll be like, I love her so much, but I hate her. She's so mean. And I'm like, yeah, your 5-year-old's kind of an asshole, dude. I've seen it, but they're also going to be a really cool adult. Like, I swear.
it's really hard. I mean, we don't have children, and I have friends that have kids that range from, you know, literally born on Tuesday to, you know, 7 or like sort of our, or 9, I guess, is sort of like our closest friends and the age ranges of their kids. And like, you are living with a terrible boss right now, basically. Like, that is what you are doing, is like your employer is horrible to you at all times. And that's, it's like an abusive work relationship. And I get it. And it's really tough. And there's, you know, I can't offer to be like, I'll come over with a bottle of wine or whatever because I'm inside. So, you know, but like last night, one of my best friends and I, she has a 2-year-old, almost 2-year-old, and it's been really hard. They're like potty training, and it's tough. And yeah. And so last night, my husband and I were making dinner, and we were listening to a record, and this song came on, and I texted my friend, and I was like, "Dance party?" And she was like, "Yes." And we literally just did a 3-minute FaceTime dance party, and then I was like, "Peace, I gotta go make dinner." And it was really lovely and like really wonderful, and I could tell kind of like for both of us, me obviously not with a child but with a puppy that yells at me all the time, and her with a 2-year-old that she's trying to potty train, it was like, whew, okay, I feel better now. I just needed to like get that out.
You're dealing with creatures who are like roughly, they're not at the same developmental stage, but you've got a puppy.
Pretty close.
So your puppy is like an infant who, it's like a walk, like you're, it's sort of like a kid who just learned how to walk, like that level of, and her kid is obviously developmentally more advanced, but still very frustrating. And
drunk baby. Yeah.
You know, from here on out, her kid just skyrockets and your dog stays a dog. But
there was amazing, we spent a long weekend, her family and my husband and I and the puppy, we went to Palm Springs for a long weekend in January before all this happened. And there was like this crossover of like, you could see sort of the baby was just about to kind of surpass the puppy, but they were just hitting it, and they would like do reading time together, and they would play catch. They would like play fetch together, and like there was just enough of similarity of interests and attention span that like they could entertain each other. And I was like, this is the last time this will happen. This is it.
Yeah, that's the very precious moment that you have to take advantage of, where the moment where the puppy and the kid are on the same par, like absolutely, that's what you want to rock.
And it was wonderful for 3 days, because we were like, it's like having a babysitter for both of them, because they were both kind of just like watching each other at all times. So it was nice to be able to like all of us kind of take a break, and just they watched each other while we were, you know, trying to just like take a deep breath. And also in retrospect, I'm so happy we ended up being able to do that, because now, you know, and we were, my husband and I got engaged in Los Olivos, oh my gosh, was that 4 years ago? 4 years ago, over Labor Day. And so every Labor Day since, we go up with our best friends and we rent a house and we go do wine tastings and just like kind of spend 4 days at this really beautiful house that we found and hang out, and the kids get to hang out and all that kind of stuff. And I think we're not going to be able to do it this year. Aww. And that's honestly, that was like when it started to, you know, extend, when the quarantine, you know, now it's, I think, May, maybe, who knows. But even at that point, like everything getting up and running, and like, do you want to go stay in an Airbnb without knowing where it's been, you know, that kind of stuff. And so it's really like that. All of us are in a group text, and we kind of figured it out the other day, and was just like, oh man. And again, it's, I'm 100% first world problems, but it is that idea of, we were talking about, of community, of like, this is something, we all have really busy lives, and it's the one time a year we all get together, and, you know, just we're together for 4 days, and it's like, play board games and hang out, and, you know, there's no stress. And it's really that, like, we always talk about it, of like, it's the break right in the middle of the year that you need before it gets crazy again, and before kids go back to school and all that kind of stuff. And so that's the kind of stuff that I'm really missing, even sort of in looking forward, of just like, I'm missing the ability of just to hang out with people, just to hang out with them, rather than like, here's a set time I'm going to talk to you, we're going to do this. And then, you know, which I think is important, but just the casual being around your friends and your community, that's really something I think that's taking a toll.
Oh, of course. It is having more cares now than we do. The inability to, for various reasons, have a carefree life. Not that anybody truly does, but this adds a burden. It absolutely adds a burden. And we would be silly and ridiculous if we didn't admit that. And so to lose the ability to be spontaneous.
Yeah.
That's rough because, you know, so for those of us who have relatively organized lives and are like, okay, doing this here, this is like some of the joy of spontaneity is that it's random. We can't just do it all the time. I mean, once I got a steady day job, I began to appreciate spontaneity more because when I was just freelance writing from home, I just do whatever the hell I wanted all the time and didn't get much done. But when we have to worry about the lack of, you know, it's very strange. And I know you said this much earlier, but with marking time, the inability to sort of distinguish our days and nights and things like that, it has had such effect on all of us. And, you know, before I let you go, first of all, I want to thank you for your time and for being so frank and open and speaking so clearly about these different things. But I also was thinking if we were going to do a Liz Hannah Film and TV Festival in the house, you know, one of the greatest at-home film festivals of all time, also television, let's not forget. Maybe there's a web series in there that I don't know about that you did in like 2005 on like a very early iPhone. But what should people get into? Because the IMDb is growing. So if you are the curator, which would be possibly the most narcissistic job ever. Yes. It sounds really fun. If you're the curator of the Liz Hannah International Film and Television Festival.
Am I picking my own work or am I picking other people's work?
Oh, no, you're picking your own work.
Oh,
and
boy.
You also are the jury committee.
Oh, this is really intense.
It's very intense.
Okay, so what I would pick. I think in this time, the movie that I am really happy, I'm very proud of all of my work and I love all my children equally, but something that like in this dark time and talking about laughter, I'm co-wrote a movie called Long Shot that came out last year, and it's a romantic comedy with Seth Rogen and Charlize Theron.
Heard of it.
Yep. And that one is, I'm really, really proud of it. I think it's, their chemistry's great. They're really funny. And I think we all kind of need to laugh right now. So I would pick that probably.
It's also a fun fantasy right now having leaders who give a shit. That's fun. That's fun
it's,
world.
It's a strange parallel universe or perpendicular universe, I guess. Also one where a woman can be elected president of the United States. Crazy.
Ooh, imagine that.
I know. Wouldn't that be nice? So I would hard recommend that one because I think, you know, you can laugh and you know, maybe it's sweet and everybody likes a good love story. So I'd recommend that one. And then I did a TV show. I worked on a TV show last year called Mindhunter. And that's on Netflix. And so
same plot. It's the exact same cast.
It is
definitely the same tone.
It is the same exact tone as Long Shot.
Sometimes I will watch, like what I like to do is I take a clip from Mindhunter and I take a clip from Long Shot and I just watch it and I say, what am I want? Is it the same thing? This is beautiful.
Right. You're like, what is the difference? I can't even tell. Like this Liz Hannah girl, she just does the same thing over and over again.
She's got no range.
No range.
I don't understand why she's sticking to the same genre.
It's really weird.
You know, that's the way it is.
Yeah, I would, but so I would recommend that. It's David Fincher, who is, I think, a genius and an icon and very, very talented. He directed the first, in season one, I think he directed the first two and the last two, and then in season two, he directed the first three. Weirdly, has a lot to do with isolation because they're interviewing a lot of serial killers who spend a lot of time in solitary confinement. So that maybe there's some weird psychological connective tissue there. But I think it's a good binge watch. So if you are tired of your kids and need to focus on something else, I would recommend that one.
Oh my gosh, I love that. Is pure poetry, being like, if you're tired of your kids, go watch Mindhunter. You'll feel better. You will feel better. You'll feel better.
You'll be like, well, my kid's not like that, so yeah, I'm okay.
This is terrifying and very dark, and I guess I can deal with the fact that my kids threw their own shit at their other kid, which is always my favorite part of my friends who are parents' journey. It's not their favorite part, but it's my favorite part, when at some point a kid throws a diaper or just actual shit at another kid. It's that's where I go, wow, you're really in this now, man.
You're literally knee deep in it. That's a true thing. Yes.
You can't walk this back at this point. Like, this is, these are people and they're making choices.
Yeah.
I also think that sometimes, like, I know that parents tell each other things only parents can truly understand. But again, I do really value being the like auntie slash godmother figure slash just friend who parents who have other parent friends who are perhaps judgmental of them can tell me, and maybe you relate to this as well. And I'm just like, everybody needs somebody who just thinks they're a superhero for dealing with something that they have to deal with. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? That's amazing. Like, wow. Like, you did that? You taught a person to ride a bike? Or, like, you dealt with the fact that your child called his grandma a bitch? Like, whoa. You're probably not going to tell your sister-in-law who judges you that, but you're going to tell me, and I feel great about knowing that.
I actually find it similar to when you meet anybody in Hollywood, or when you're in Hollywood and you meet anybody who has a real job, it's like they've seen a unicorn in Los Angeles. My friend of mine, her husband is a pediatric surgeon. I think he's pediatric brain surgeon.
Oh, so a genius. Just great. Like, a genius.
Yeah, just an absolute total genius. And it was honestly like seeing a dog walking on his hind legs when he showed up at a dinner, because you just saw everyone in the industry go over and be like, tell me everything, please. Like, I can't talk about movies anymore. I just want to, like, you have a real job. What's the real world like? And it was like, all right, guys, everybody calm down. Everybody calm down. But it is like, it's funny. I have friends of mine who are parents, and I definitely get in those conversations. And I'm generally the one who's like, yeah, that sucks, dude. Your kid's crazy. And like, they're going to be great. And you're a great parent and you're surviving. But yeah, that was a really shitty day. That sounds like it sucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like and to say, you will get past this, you'll get past it, you will, and they might not believe us, or they might believe us. You know, sometimes I think people think that somebody, let's say they have a friend who has older kids who are very well behaved, and that friend goes, oh my God, Ronnie was a real nightmare, and they're like, I don't believe you, that's bullshit, that's false empathy. Other times, I think they get it, but when we're like, nah, that sounds fucked, but I swear I see the glint of hope in your child's eye, I think it's gonna be okay. It's really, I love, I can't do the number one favorite thing that I like to do for people with young kids, which is occupy them while the parents go to the bathroom. Okay. That's like such a good present for them, and I don't have to spend any money, and I get to find out a lot of interesting things about new television shows that were not targeted at me, but that's fine.
Well, it's also like, it's when my friends have newborns or something, I like to do the shower time. Where
So fun!
You know, like, I'm like, I'll totally hang out with your kid for however long you want. I would recommend you go take a shower, or like just sit in your bedroom by yourself without anybody like pooping or throwing up on you. And you know what? We're going to be fine. It's, you know, I feel like the thing with newborns also is like, you're just trying not to break them. That's about it. Like, they don't really need a lot. I don't have to entertain them. Mm-hmm. So my husband and I generally, when our friends have newborns, we're like, we'll be there whenever you guys need, like, to walk outside by yourself for an hour. I'm down to be the babysitter for that hour.
Oh, yeah, because it's like, wait, the kid's not expecting intellectual discourse.
No,
like, it's
no.
A kid. Tell me the special things that your kid likes in terms of feeding and burping and stuff, and where I will change a diaper and we're good to go. And
yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, that's what everybody who's listening, that's what whether your friends refer to themselves as child free or childless, or they're just like, I ain't got no kids, like, whatever. Not that all of them are of the Liz Hannah Sarah Benicasa mode, where we actually enjoy like being around them for a little bit, but think about it. You know, this is a time when I think it's a good idea, if you've got people in your isolation pod, which I really feel like we need to rewrite that. We need to punch that up.
Yeah.
But your approved isolation pod, and you know, that you might be surprised if you ask for help. Sometimes people will grant it to you. It's okay.
I think that's a great thought. And I also think, like, if you're in that pod or that circle or chain or whatever the hell we're calling it, and your friend has a kid and you can go over and, like, spend an hour with the kid while their parents do absolutely anything else, that would probably be, the parents may not ask for help, so maybe you could just offer it.
Yeah, you could just offer. And maybe they have too much pride to accept, like, say, cash from you, right?
Exactly.
Like, if you're blessed enough to have that. But, like, maybe they would appreciate if, you know, if somebody has to go fill out an unemployment form online. That takes a while. I've done it and I didn't have kids distracting me. So if they won't say yes to money or whatever, you could just be like, hey, why don't I, you know, we've consulted with our doctors and we are permitted to engage with only one another because we've committed to not engaging with anybody else, including yep. delivery people, blah, blah. If you've got all, like, you've figured it all out, just, you know, a walk, take a kid on a walk.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Take a puppy on a walk. Why not?
Oh, God, so I take my puppy on a walk. Great.
Well, Liz,
I will find a way to social distance my dog to you to walk this dog.
Be like, get out of here, dog. Well, Liz, where can people find more about you on the internet?
So I'm on Twitter at It's Liz Hannah and Instagram at It's Liz Hannah. I got Mindhunters on Netflix and the movie I made last year, All the Bright Places, on Netflix. Actually, it came out this year.
That's wild. What was the release date?
It came out in March, I think. Yeah.
Well, what's March? It's March. Oh, it's April now. It's April.
I think it just came out like a month ago. So
and you were like, it came out last year. That makes so much sense.
Yeah. Actually, I can tell you it came out a month ago because I had like my 1 month phone call about it 2 days ago. So 1 month ago, this movie came out. So you can go watch it on Netflix. It's called All the Bright Places. And yeah, I'm around. I feel like everybody's, you know, just trying to stay positive and stuff. So hit me up on Twitter. I like to do AMAs every now and then. So keep an eye out. And yeah, I hope everybody stays, you know, safe and healthy and sane.
Well, thank you so much. You fucking rock. You are so talented. And as a fan, I'm really excited to have gotten to talk to you and enjoy your wisdom, madam.
Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for doing this. And I'm a big fan over here as well. And I hope you, keep that cat happy or she doesn't, you know, judge you and you don't judge her too much. It's the biggest threat with cats. So judgment.
Oh, it's happening. She's staring at me right now. I have to go talk to her and ask what I did wrong. It doesn't really matter because it's something.
Yeah, I'm sure you blinked the wrong way, and that's going to be a real rift in your relationship for a couple hours.
Well, thank you, Liz.
Thanks.
And that was my interview with Liz Hannah. You can get to know her stuff better on these internets. Obviously, we gave you the guide to the film festival, of course. But you can go to Twitter and she's It's Liz Hannah, ITSLIZHANNAH. It's Liz Hannah on Twitter. Say hi. Tell her I sent you. You can hang out with this podcast on Instagram at Well, This Isn't Normal. I'm at Sarah J. Benincasa. That's SarahJBenincasa on Twitter and on Instagram. Thank you so much to everybody who supports the podcast at Patreon, patreon.com/SarahBenincasa, SarahBenincasa. You can contribute as little as a dollar a month, and that will do a bunch of things. One, it will help me pay engineer Jonathan for his excellent work. Shout out to Jonathan via Lobos. Two, it will help me pay for superior equipment as we move forward. Three, you know, it'll help me keep the lights on and keep doing my weekly newsletter, Serotonin, which always has tips and tricks and little stories and tips and tricks about what you say, everything, but mostly self-care and mental health related things. And it's a nice place to get to shout out Patreon supporters. That's something that I will be doing soon Actually, since you asked, on this very podcast, I will be doing that soon, shouting out some folks who have contributed at a certain level. Also, if you're hearing an interesting noise, I don't know if you did, my cat, very resentful of the microphone, Polly, the demon queen, sitting in my lap. She is whipping her tail around. She's letting me know that I should be focusing on her more, and I'm not, and that I am therefore a bastard person. Well, Polly, you know, this is how I bring in the big bucks. This is how I bring in the break-even bucks. Let's see. What else? Oh, you can support the podcast. Go to matrushka.com, matrushka.com/code, code, Sarah, S-A-R-A. That's matrushka.com/code/Sarah. 20% off plus free shipping on everything on the site but their cotton masks. You probably have your masks by now. If you don't, you could get some. They're very nice, reasonably priced over there. But you could just, yeah, I don't know, get yourself a nice little outfit. Get yourself some custom-made pajamas. It's all made in Los Angeles by a team of mostly women. Couple token dudes helping out over there. I work with them on brand affiliate stuff. That's why I have that that URL that I just cited, matrushka.com/code/Sarah. You can also email me, sarah@sarahbenincasa.com, to address the situation of whether or not cats see ghosts. That's a constantly interesting thing in my life. This cat is like, I am done. I'm getting off your lap and I'm just getting the hell out of here, ma'am. It's fine, Polly. It's fine. I don't need you here. Yes, I do. You know that I love to shout out different nonprofits, so I have to say, please support your local Humane Society. Find out your local no-kill shelter. Look up a good rescue organization, whether or not they have nonprofit status. If you know them or have friends who know them and know them to be trustworthy, you may want to throw some money their way, even $5. I mean, $5 can buy some cool supplies for pets. Buy a little bit of food, buy some toys, things like that. You never know. I personally dig Lux Paws, L-U-X-E-P-A-W-S. They are how I got Polly, but there's plenty out there. Glendale Humane Society is great. You know, there's one near you. Check out folks who do trap, neuter, release, TNR. Birth control for cats. Let's see, what else? Oh, yes. If you want some pretty lingerie, go to JeanetteBras.com, J-E-N-E-T-T-E, JeanetteBras.com. That's my friend Jeanette Goldstein, who played Vasquez in Aliens. And she was John Connor's stepmom in Terminator 2. Or no, like foster mom. She's been in a bunch of shit. I mean, those are just two things. She's been in a bunch of stuff. And she is a lingerie, a mistress of lingerie, a bustier queen. But she has this small company called Jeanette Bras. And their boutiques are all closed right now. She had, I think, four boutiques. I think three in LA and one in Atlanta. I might have that wrong. But they're small but mighty, and they're all closed right now. So you can order from them. If you go online, it's a very old-fashioned boutique-y experience. Go to JeanetteBras.com. Pick out something you like. They have lingerie and swimwear and panties and stuff as well. Very gender-inclusive. So if you're a dude who wears that stuff, don't be scared. Or if you're gender-neutral, agender, genderqueer, whatever. It's beautiful stuff. We should all look fabulous wearing our beautiful things. No? Yes, I agree. So does Paul. Anyway, go to JeanetteBras.com, pick out what you want. Email info@JeanetteBras.com, info@JeanetteBras.com. Say, hey, I want this thing from your website, and here's offer code TITSMCGEE. I want 15% off plus free shipping. And they'll get in touch with you, and you know, you'll do the order. Now, if you know your size, obviously you can give that to them, and they'll send you your, you know, payment information and stuff. But if you don't, you can be like, hey, girls, info@JeanetteBras.com. I have an anniversary coming up, or it's my birthday. I would like a beautiful full coverage bra, or I would like a thong that doesn't make my butthole want to die. These are things you can say to these people. They're wonderful. And say, I've got offer code TITSMCGEE for 15% off plus free shipping. I listened to Sarah Benegas's podcast. She said that I could email you for help. Help! And they'll work it out with you long distance. They're that good. Usually they get all up, you know, politely in your booby business and measure you in the store. But in this case, they can do it online. Wow, what a journey. Well, anyway, this outro has really been a journey. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're chilling out. I hope you are getting enough sleep. If not, I want to remind you about progressive muscle relaxation. So progressive muscle relaxation involves laying flat on your back if you can, or if you need to lay on your side or sit up, whatever it may be, whatever your preference is or whatever your ability is, go for it. And you start with your toes or whatever parts you are initially able to. So this can be modified for people with different abilities. If you are listening and you are paraplegic, if you are quadriplegic, if you have limitations in terms of use, different parts of your body, that's okay. It doesn't have to be actual clenching of the muscle. It can be a mental thing where you mentally go through the different parts of your body. And what some people do is they actually physically clench the toes and then release, and then clench the feet and then release, and then really try to clench the calf muscles and then release. And you can do that slowly, working all the way up through your body. But what some people prefer to do is, rather than physically clenching, to imagine a healing white or blue light entering, sort of like if you can imagine your body laying on the shore, and the waves washing in and washing first over your toes and then washing out and then washing up to your ankles and then washing out. And this is very shallow. You're not going to drown in it, okay? I don't want anybody to get freaked out. You're like the most shallow bath of all time that the ocean is giving you lovingly. You can picture that. You can picture the water touching different parts of your body. Or you can just picture it as a light coming in and coming out, gradually washing in and washing out, going up farther and farther up your body, until finally your whole body is aglow with this powerful healing light. So there are different ways to do it, but progressive muscle relaxation is really a lovely, lovely thing to do to occupy your mind, start to slow your heart rate to a nice steady pace, especially if you're anxious. It's really a great way to focus your energies, if that's possible for you. And of course, there are many, many different tools that you can use, psychological, spiritual, chemical, otherwise, to assist you in falling asleep. And this is just one of them. Well, I hope you had a good time listening to this episode. I hope it was helpful to you. Sarah@sarabenincasa.com for questions, comments, concerns. Feel free to explain if cats can see ghosts or not. If you've got advice questions, that's a thing we could get into on the podcast. Why not? Anyway, I like you. I love you. I'm proud of you. You're going to get through this. Whatever this is to you, you're going to get through this. I believe in you. I am very proud of you. And I will talk to you next time.